campamento para mis hijos totalmente en inglés. Y que encima fuesen campamentos temáticos para que se lo pasaran genial. Caballeros y princesas, Harry Potter, máquinas del tiempo, talent show. Hoy, si encima no tuviesen que salir de Madrid, ¡buah, eso sería fantástico! Y si además no tuvieran que dormir fuera de casa y pudieran volver el mismo día, ¿tendrán algo así los de Vaughan?
Lo tenemos. Se llama Urban Camps. Llámanos al 91-133-5832 y te lo contaremos todo. 91-133-5832.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura 3 meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at grupovaughan.com.
You're listening to The Drive Time Show with Kyle Miller.
Friends, welcome back to the Drive Time Show. My name is Kyle Miller, and you're listening to Vaughan Radio, the world's only English language radio station, 24 hours a day. We are here to help you with your English. No cuesta nada. It's completely free. So why not listen to this show? Also, if you want more, or you like certain challenges, los retos de los programas, well, you can always find the show on Spotify. You can search for the Drive Time Show on Spotify or on iVox. iVox.com, search for Drive Time, and you'll find over 1,500 episodes of the program, and you can practice, practice, practice. Because practice makes perfect. But let's go ahead and begin this half hour with today's awesome adjective.
A. Amazing. B. Beautiful. C. Cheap. D. Dirty. E. Expensive. F. Friendly. G. Good. H. Happy. I. Interesting. J. Jealous.
Awesome adjectives.
All right, today's awesome adjective, I want to actually give you three. I know, at home people are saying, Kyle, you're so generous. Qué generoso eres, Kyle. Yes, I'm going to give you three adjectives for the price of one, and the price is free. How good is that, right? Isn't that great? But no, I want to talk about three adjectives using the word self. So we're talking about compound adjectives. For example, egocéntrica, self-centered. So remember, when you have compound adjectives like this that are two words put together, we're going to use the hyphen, el guión, hyphen. So, eres una persona muy egocéntrica. He's a very self-centered person. Very self-centered person. Ella es una persona muy confiada en sí misma. She's a very self-confident person. Self-confident. So again, it becomes one word, right? We're adding the hyphen in the middle, and we say self-confident. Confiada en sí misma. She's very self-confident. ¿Por qué eres tan tímido? Why are you so self-conscious. Self-conscious, tímido, tímida. Someone who is, we say, self-conscious. So here we have three. Another one is self-aware. Self-aware, self-conscious, self-confident, self-centered, right? The meaning here is different, but we're talking about three different adjectives, compound adjectives, using self, okay? Self-confident, self-centered, self-conscious, okay? There you go. Awesome adjectives, everybody. We do that just about every day. A nice little section. But let's go ahead. Let's go ahead with another section that we do every day. Of course, I am talking about today's interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
All right, the interrogative challenge. Everyone, you know how this works. I'm going to give you the answer to the question, and you ask me the question that I've already answered. It's the interrogative challenge, the world-famous interrogative challenge. Okay, here we go. He's coming to see us tomorrow morning. He's coming to see us tomorrow morning. So you'd say, when is he coming to see us? When is he coming to see us? Oh, he's coming to see us tomorrow morning. Okay, when? Tomorrow morning. When is he coming to see us? He's coming to see us tomorrow morning. The tank was emptied by means of a pump. How was the tank emptied? So it was emptied using a pump. It was emptied by means of a pump. The baby is due in 2 months. When is the baby due? When is the baby due? It stopped raining shortly after lunch. When did it stop raining? When did it stop raining? You should put it in a plastic bag. What should I put it in? Hey, what should I put it in? Oh, you should put it in a, plastic bag. In una bolsa de plástico. What should I put it in? That idea was Jennifer's. Please make sure you get this one right. Whose idea was that? So, I hope you said that right. Did you say that, or did you say, whose was that idea? Espero que no. The correct answer, the correct question I should say is, whose idea was that? Oh, it was Jennifer's idea. So remember, with whose, the object always directly follows the word whose. Whose idea? Whose show is this? Whose class is this? Whose book is that? I want to know whose book that is. Direct or indirect, either way, we're always going to put that object directly after the word whose. Okay. No, I've never seen a UFO. Have you ever seen a UFO? No. No, I've never seen a UFO. In Spanish, I guess you say un ovni, no? Ovni? UFO. UFO, which of course stands for, que significa, which stands for unidentified flying object. And no, I've never seen a UFO. Have you ever seen? We're having trouble finishing it because it's long. Why are you having trouble finishing it? Why are you having trouble, have trouble plus ing, why are you having trouble finishing it? We're having trouble finishing it because it's long. There have been two meetings so far today. Okay, so far, hasta ahora. Anytime we use so far, remember, the tense is going to be present perfect. Okay. We've had two meetings so far today. How many meetings have we had or have you had so far today? I get them mixed up because they look alike. Why do you get them mixed up? Why do you get them mixed up? I get them mixed up because they look alike. I get them mixed up because they look, porque les parecen mucho. Bueno, se parecen mucho el uno al otro. Because they look alike. They look a lot alike. Okay? All right, there you go. I think that's good for today's little challenge. I know it's tough, but like I said, if you want to practice more, you can, of course, get the podcast of today's show, and you can listen to that again and work with those challenges. Let's go back in time. You know, I love to talk about history, and let's take a look at what happened on this day. I'm talking about March 3rd, today in history. Today in history. All right, it's time for Today in History, and Bayer, the pharmaceutical giant Bayer, patented aspirin on this day. What a significant patent that was. The Imperial Patent Office in Berlin registered aspirin, the brand name for acetylsalicylic acid, on behalf of the German pharmaceutical company Friedrich Bayer Company, or Bayer and Company, I should say. Now, it's now the most common drug in household medicine cabinets. Acetylsalicylic acid was originally made from a chemical found in the bark of willow trees. Now, the bark is the external part of a tree, the external layer, the bark. I talked about this on my Instagram show, bark of a tree. In its primitive form, the active ingredient, salicin, was used for centuries in folk medicine, beginning in ancient Greece, in fact, where it was used to relieve pain and fever. Now, it became known to doctors in the mid-19th century, and it was used very sparingly because of its unpleasant taste and its tendency to damage the stomach. But then in 1897, a Bayer employee, a guy named Felix Hoffmann, he found a way to create a stable form of the drug that was easier and more pleasant to take. And they obtained a patent, the patent rights for the company, Bayer, and they started distributing aspirin in powdered form to doctors to give to their patients 1 gram at a time. And the brand name came from A for acetyl, spear from the spirea plant, a source of this salicin that's in it, and the suffix "-in," which is commonly used in medication, aspirin. and it quickly became the number one drug worldwide. Now, aspirin was made in the tablet form and without a prescription in 1915. Sin receta, prescription, receta. 2 years later, when Bayer's patent expired during the First World War, the company lost the trademark rights to aspirin in various countries. Now, after the United States entered the war against Germany, the government agency that administers these foreign properties, they took Bayer's U.S. assets. 2 years later, the Bayer company became the name and trademark for Canada and the United States were auctioned off. They were sold and they were purchased by an American company called Sterling Products, later Sterling Winthrop, for over $5 million, $5.3 million. Now, a bunch of business things happened. Companies were bought out. The war, Second World War, came and went. And Bayer bought this company, Sterling Winthrop. They bought the business back, so they regained the rights to the name and logo and were once again able to profit from the sales of their most famous product, aspirin. But of course, you can get the generic, which is exactly the same. Acetylsalicylic acid. It doesn't have to be aspirin brand, but that is the most famous brand of this product. There you go, a little history of aspirin. Now, let's go back to 1902. And on this date, Real Madrid was founded by a group of fans in Madrid, later known as the Real Madrid Club. Of course, it would go on to become one of the most successful football franchises of the century with its trademark uniforms. And Real Madrid began to make a name for itself from the beginning. Back in 1905, from 1905 to 1907, under their coach at the time, Arthur Johnson, an Englishman, they won three titles in a row in the league, in La Liga, of course. And that was the first of, 30 or so league championships, or more than 30 by now. And the legendary stadium, of course, the Santiago Bernabeu. And named after Santiago Bernabeu Yeste, who played for the team from 1912 to 1927 and later served as president up until 1978. Anyway, you probably know more about Real Madrid than I do, so I'm going to move on. Let's get to some questions, because I have a few of them. And let's go ahead and check the mailbag, everybody, with today's By Request.
By Request. Inglés a la carta.
All right, it's time for By Request. I got a question from David. This came in the Facebook group. Now, I admit I have more Instagram questions. I have to get to those, especially the audio ones. But I'll read the questions from the Facebook group. If you're not in the group yet, make sure you join. No cuesta nada. And I will be, after the show today, I will be doing a free class on Instagram. I'm Kyle Miller on Instagram, and I will put that into the Facebook group for you to enjoy. So make sure you're there if you want to improve your English. Make sure you join the free Facebook group called English with Kyle. And I will share additional free classes and extra content there. That's Kyle, K-Y-L-E, K-Y-L-E, A de España, English with Kyle, four letters, K-Y-L-E, English with Kyle, and I will put free classes in there. on Facebook. So if you or anyone you know, if you want to improve your English, make sure you join that free group. David says, hello, Kyle. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I have heard at the corner, in the corner, and on the corner. Are all of them correct? What's the difference? Oh, this is a good question. Okay, in the corner means you're in. First, let's look at in the corner and at the corner. If you draw a square and you put a dot or put a mark, put an X inside the square in one of the corners, well, that is, like I said, in the corner, in the corner. But if you put the X outside the square, near the corner, near the intersection, but outside, you would say on the corner. Or, yeah, typically you'd say on the corner. Or it could be at the corner. But in means it's inside. So in the corner of a room. But if you're standing on the street at the intersection of two streets, I'm standing at the corner of Main Street and Young Street. I'm standing at the corner of Gran Vía and Fuencarral. At the corner. Because I am outside the buildings, I'm at the intersection. I'm at the corner or I'm on the corner. But in the corner means you're inside. It's almost like en el rincón, la esquina pero dentro. Okay? In the corner. So in would be inside. If it's outside, it could be at the corner or on the corner. Now, that's very... you can kind of say either one. At the corner, on the corner. I'm on the corner of the street. I'm at the corner of the street. At a certain intersection, at a place. I'm at the office. I'm standing on the corner. Standing at the corner. So those ones, I don't worry too much about the difference. I really have to split hairs and think hard about a difference. So if I have to, if I can't think of a difference clearly, I don't think you need to know it. But in the corner would be inside. At the corner or on the corner would be outside. That's a good question, David. I like that question. Okay? Okay, let's take a look. Oh, boy, it's time for... Do we have time for business? Yeah, let's make this quick, but let's get down to business.
Come to my office.
What a bargain.
Meeting starting in 5 minutes.
Bye.
Let's get down to business. All right, it's time to get down to business. And I want to talk about Thermos. I was thinking about this company today and I didn't know much about it. So I researched it. And it's an American company, the manufacturer of insulated food and beverage containers. But the original company was founded in Germany in 1904. But the story goes back before then. It goes back to 1892 when a guy named James Dewar, a scientist at Cambridge University, invented the vacuum insulated flask for storing liquefied gases. But it would not become a household item for things like warm coffee until much later. But in less than 10 years later, I guess. But in 1903, a German glass blower, a guy called Reinhold Berger, he got a German patent for isolating vessel for everyday use. And he registered the trademark Thermos for his patent. In 1906, the company Thermos was formed by him and a few others, and they started producing these bottles in the United States based on the German patent. Now, the vacuum flask is commonly called the Dewar flask among chemists in recognition of the inventor, but he didn't register a patent for his invention. It was Berger who did it later on with the Thermos Company. Dewar actually sued, tried to sue, intentó pues demandar, but he lost in court due to intellectual property rights being owned by the company who registered them. And it seems like an interesting company. This is a company that they've expanded over the years. Of course, in the 50s, they bought a company called the American, or they created a new company called the American Thermos Bottle Company. And they went on to buy a bunch of other bottle and glass production facilities to continue growing. They also have a Canadian company called the Canadian Thermos Bottle Company. And a company that has reached the ultimate in marketing, really in branding, when your brand becomes synonymous with a product, like Kleenex, right? Facial tissue or Band-Aid for, you know, bandages, tiritas, Band-Aid, Kleenex, you know, Coca-Cola, the brand that is synonymous with a line of products, and that's the ultimate, and Thermos has achieved that. Anyway, I have to finish there, sadly, because we're out of time. Estamos sin tiempo. I'd like to talk about this more, but you can read more yourself. I know I'm going to look more into this interesting company, but it's time to finish there because I'm out of time. But thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back tomorrow. Mañana vuelvo. Mañana más. Everybody right here at 6 o'clock on Vaughn Radio. And, of course, I will also be in 5 minutes. Nada más que cinco minutos estaré en directo en mi Instagram. I'm Kyle Miller is the name on Instagram. You can join me there. I will also share that class into my free Facebook group called English with Kyle. But thanks for listening, folks. I'll be back tomorrow with another edition of The Drive Time Show. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Urban Camps, aventuras e inglés. Este verano no dejes que se te escapen.
A Vaughn English class is not the same as other English classes. In a Vaughn English class, time is optimized to the max. Every minute counts for your company. Every minute counts for your English. It's all a question of mathematics. The more you practice key structures of the language in every class, the more confident you will be when you use them in real life. And the more effective you will be as a communicator in English. And in this global